Welcome to the Detailed Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I will be your host. Our guest for this episode really needs no introduction, but just in case you don't know who he is, he's probably the world's best dealership detailer hack. He is fluent in photoshopping people into situations that are really funny unless it's done about you. We're going to be talking to big, sexy Mr. Walt Sanders. So stay tuned. Hey, there he is. How you doing, Walt?
Here I am. How's it going?
Good, man. Good, man. I'm glad to have you on this episode. You're going to be the end of season one interviews because next week we have a special episode that's going to end season one that won't really be interviews. So you're kind of on season one. So
I don't know if that's good or bad, but
yeah, I don't either. I don't either yet. All right, man. So I don't know if you've listened to any of the podcasts before, but we always start off with kind of an introduction: who you are, what you do, where you're from, how long you've been detailing, how'd you get started, all that fun stuff that everybody wants to know about.
All right. So I live in a small town in New York, nowhere near the city. In fact, I'm about 10 minutes from the PA border. Lived here all my life. I was in North Carolina for maybe 6 months, and then I came back. When I was 17, my dad showed me how to kind of hand polish a car. He had this old 3M polish. I don't even remember what kind it was, and a t-shirt, and we polished my car, and I was hooked from then on. I would wash my car with Windex, which of course is a bad idea, but I didn't know any better. So
yeah, well, I mean, not really if you want to strip all the wax off of it and get a, you know, good start. Exactly. That's a great idea,
but I had clean windows, so there you go. And then back in, it was like 2006, I want to say, I got hired as a porter at a dealership, and it just kind of spun off from there. I took a liking to it. I really enjoyed it. It was the not fast food, and it wasn't paving parking lots. And so it just kind of grew from there. I did that for a few years before I got promoted to detailer, and I just kept trying to learn and practice, and I had some pretty good mentors back then, and it just kind of expanded from there.
That's awesome. So what are you doing now? Obviously detailing, but where, what do you do?
So now I'm at the detail spa, which most people know, but it's owned by a dealership. Okay. So the cool thing is even though it's owned by the dealership, we're actually located a half mile down the road. We have our own facilities, so we're kind of like our own little entity. So
oh, nice.
We get to be dealership detailers without being dealership detailers, so to speak. We're doing, you know, ceramic coatings, paint corrections, all that fun stuff.
Right.
In my area, we're more of the premier type of detail shop. We don't really do any of the basic stuff. We don't do washes and vacuums. We have a couple cheaper packages with wax, but nothing crazy.
Right.
So I'm managing that place. There's three employees right now. We're looking to expand next year.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
We're trying to see kind of how things go. I've been there for 3 years. They had just opened that up and remodeled the building to do this like 6 months before I started.
Okay.
And we just kind of, we had the same vision. I had owned my own business back in 2011 and we did okay, but it just didn't work out. I made some poor business decisions and that mixed with bad luck. It just didn't work out, but I had some management experience, detail management experience after that with another dealership. And so when I came here, it was just a perfect fit. I had the experience, the knowledge, the management experience.
Right.
And we had the same vision, so it just kind of took off.
And
so I kind of helped grow the business.
Right. And you obviously knew what not to do after the first time around.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then are you strictly dealership detailing, or do you do any retail type stuff?
No, in fact, we do a ton of retail, so much so that the owner gets irritated with me because we'll fall so far behind on his dealership cars.
Okay.
we have to shut our schedule off at times. So well, it gets kind of hectic trying to keep up with both of them.
Right.
We manage.
Right. And I can imagine that that's probably a pretty good thing for you, because you're, at least if you have to shut down, or you, or not like shut down, but shut down your schedule or those slow times, you still have dealership work that carries you through.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, that's good. So for the dealership, are you doing the same services for them that you're doing like retail, or do you have like a specific, like, quote unquote dealership detail package like some guys do?
So the biggest difference between the two is the customers have more flexibility as far as what they want to do.
Right.
A lot of times we won't go crazy high end, you know, paint corrections on the lot cars unless it's something really nice. I mean, if we get, you know, a 2020, you know, Tahoe in that's, you know, clapped out, of course we're going to do everything we need to do to it. But generally speaking, they get the traditional full interior with shampoo, extraction, everything, and then basically they just get a one-step polish on the outside, nothing too crazy.
Okay. If
it needs, you know, if it's a black vehicle and it really needs it, we'll get a little bit more into it, but generally we're trying to have those vehicles out of there in about 4.5 hours.
Okay. And so the dealership, is it more like a used car dealership, or is it like kind of like a specialty kind of?
We're a Chrysler dealership, so we sell Ram, Jeep. And then we have the used cars as well. And we're a fairly small dealership. I mean, on average, they sell maybe 50 cars a month. It's been a little higher lately because sales have been, you know, really good. But generally speaking, we're a small dealership.
Right.
So it's nothing too crazy, which is perfect. So.
Heck, man, 50 cars a month is still almost 2 cars a day. You know?
Yep.
You know, typically, you know, that's not bad. Not bad work. So, all right. We know dealership detailers, or is the phrase that you love to use a lot, dealership hacks. I think you use it more than I've ever heard anybody.
Right, yep.
They're kind of looked down upon. And I'm sure there's a bunch of detailers out there that are kind of like you who are doing, you know, quote unquote, the right stuff and the right way, and but working for dealerships. What words of wisdom do you have for somebody who maybe is working for a dealership that maybe wants to be a little bit better with what they're turning out? Like, what could you offer to somebody who's listening, or maybe somebody who's thinking about it, or maybe somebody who doesn't want to touch dealerships because they're just like, you know, whatever. What could you tell them to kind of give them a foot in the right direction, being that you do that?
So my biggest piece of advice, and I even tell my guys now, is invest in yourself. If there's trainings or anything like that, go to them. If there's, you know, certain tools that are going to help your job be faster, buy those tools. Don't wait for the dealership to do it, because you have to look at it from the perspective of investing in yourself. And if you invest in yourself, the dealership, whether it's the service managers or the dealer principal, or whoever they're working directly under, is going to see that initiative.
Right.
And once they take that initiative and they actually start showing what they can do, then there comes a time where they're going to be paid for what they can do. And it may take a while, and they may have to try a different dealership before they get there. I've worked for several dealerships over the years, and they're not all a good fit.
Some of them just
don't care. They want them just hammered out, pressure wash the interior, whatever. They don't care. So you have to find what's going to work for you. Don't give away. I mean, don't do like a $500 detail for, you know, minimum wage, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Do it to gain the experience, sure. Because that's the best place to practice. I mean, you're getting all those cars, all those different kinds of paints and interiors, and you get all experience, I guess.
Yeah.
The education, you know, right, you're getting working on the different things.
Yeah, you're getting a variety of everything that you could possibly work on or experience, you know, for training purposes.
Yeah, and when there's an issue, you know, you get cloudy headlights, or you get a scratch that's too deep, say, hey, I know how to fix that. and just offer your service to them. And then once you show them you can do that, that's when you can start working your way up. You can ask for, you know, hey, can I get, you know, this kind of bonus when I do this, or, you know, things like that. Or we're paid flat rate. So we basically, we try to upsell by the hour.
Okay.
So even with the actual dealership with used cars, if we get a vehicle and it needs, you know, three or four scratches, wet sanded real quick, even if it's just 3,000 grit, we're going to upsell them. So we're going to say, hey, it's going to be an extra, you know, hour labor to do that. And then our detailers are going to get that extra hour. So you just have to find a dealership that's willing to do that. And it can be difficult, but there's plenty of dealer principals out there willing to do it. I'm helping a good friend of mine now at another dealership, and he's starting to do ceramic coatings and things now too. So it's just a long battle. You got to find someone willing to listen. Right. And willing to invest the time in the detail department, because too many of them see it as a necessary evil. They don't want to invest the money because they don't see it being profitable.
Exactly.
Because they don't understand. So you have to educate them just like you would educate a regular customer. And that's the biggest thing, is getting them to listen. So you have to show them. And sometimes that means putting yourself out there and doing things you're not necessarily getting paid appropriately for, just to get that out there. So
right, you know, because their theory on it is, if we can't make money on it, then there's no sense in doing it. And a lot of times when it comes to, I think, detailing with the dealerships, from the experience that I've had from dealing with dealerships when I ran the car wash, and even dealerships that, and for me, when I left the car wash and started my own, it was like these little mom and pop used car, you know, selling super high mileage cars. And of course they want, like, you know, the cheapest thing possible, because they know they're not going to get that return by spending, you know, thousands of dollars on ceramic coating. So I think, like what you're saying, you have to sell them on it, and you have to make them understand that it is, you know, you're going to make money off of it. At the dealership you work for, are you guys ceramic coating for them, since it's a new car dealership as well? And are they?
We do. They have their own dealership, you know, specific stuff. Like I think right now they're using Resistol. You know, everybody's got their own different brands, but the stuff they sell in F&I. So they still have that. But when they get the customers in that, you know, they want something a little bit better, they'll buy it basically from us. They'll send it down to us and we'll take care of them. And we don't do a ton, but we do, it's hard to say, you know, one or two a month usually they'll send down that we'll do. So it's a benefit. We are exploring doing a lot more for them. Like, I forget what the name is, but where they have it on the vehicle before you buy it kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So we're kind of exploring options like that.
I got you. Yeah. So they'll pick maybe like a few of them or whatever, and just have you guys throw them on there, and then they'll just tack it into the package deal or whatever. So what sets you apart, or what do you think sets you apart from the dealership hacks? I mean, I know you talked about, you know, the going to the trainings and things like that, but you specifically, how do you feel, or what do you feel sets you apart from everybody else?
I'd say it's just you know, I take a lot of pride in my work, and I treat every vehicle as if it were my grandmother bringing me her vehicle. And it doesn't matter if it's a $2,000 car or a $200,000 car. Right. I want it to look just as good, no matter how bad it is. And at the end of the day, you know that customer coming in, whether they're spending $50 or $500, that may be a lot of money to them. You just don't know. And I want it to look good, no matter what. So I continue to educate myself, you know, on the forums, the Facebook groups, the trainings, the networking. I'll stay after hours, coming on weekends, and find, you know, we'll get a piece of junk in, and I'll experiment. I'll be like, okay, well, what can this do on this paint? Or why can't you use this on an interior or whatever? And I experiment. And that's one of the nice things about being with a dealership, is you can get those junk cars and just practice on them and do whatever you want. You can spray acid on a dashboard just to see what it does, just so you know.
Right. Because worst case scenario, they're not selling it for that much money anyways. And best case scenario, you actually do something good and they're going to be happy, because now they can actually squeeze a little bit more money out of it or something.
Exactly. And a lot of these employees at the dealerships, these dealership detailers, they just go in and they collect a paycheck and they go home and they don't care. And that's why there's not a high income level for dealership detailing, because they just don't care.
Right.
They're going in, they're not doing a good job. They can't even wash the car. It's coming out muddy, you know, things like that. And that's why I'm trying to change the industry, at least in my area. I help, you know, a couple different detailers at different dealerships here in my local town, just to elevate them. Because if one detailer helps another and another, then eventually someday dealership detailing, they'll be treated better as far as employees go.
Right. Right. So NTE this year, I believe it was, you spoke about being a dealership detailer. How was that? And are you planning on speaking at MTE next year? It's weird to say next year, because it really seems like it's like this year, because the way this year's been, it seems like MTE is going to be this year. But yeah, like, are you planning on speaking again?
It's going to come down to if I actually can go. I've missed a lot of time at work with, you know, I went on vacation, and then of course I had to quarantine. So
Right. My
vacation ended up being three times longer than it was supposed to. And then I went into the hospital. Some people know I went into the hospital with acute kidney failure for caffeine toxicity, and that set me back again, and the medical bills are coming in. So it's tough. I'm not positive yet.
Gotcha.
It's probably going to be kind of a last minute thing.
But what was your, you know, your take on doing that? How was it perceived on your side, and how do you think it was perceived on the people that attended, or did you get feedback from it, or things like that?
So I actually got a lot more feedback than I expected. When I was done, there was a line of people, you know, coming up and asking me questions, which was weird. I wasn't sure what to expect. I've never spoke in front of a group that big. I think they said there was around 200 people in the room.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty nerve-wracking for me, but I got a lot of good feedback. You know, there was a lot of questions. I think a lot of the people that were in there were like manufacturer type people.
Right.
Or people that were trying to get business from dealerships, which is still great, because there's plenty of dealerships that don't hire detailers. They just send it out. So
yeah,
either way is great. But I think overall it went in the right direction of, you know, I was talking about, you know, managing and how to satisfy the dealers, because so many people think, oh, you have to do a full paint correction or it's not a detail. The dealers don't want that. They want the car to shine and to look good outside. And so many people lose money because they're like, oh, if it's not an $800 detail, I'm not doing it kind of thing.
Right.
You can get these cars in there and blow them out in 4 hours and they're just as happy. And it's missed income opportunity for a lot of people, because they look into it too much.
Right. Right.
And that was something that was reiterated to me, is there wasn't enough communication between the detailer and the dealer principal on what their expectations were going into it. And gotcha. So they'd give them a huge bill and they did way more than they were getting paid for.
Right.
So, I mean, overall, I think it was good. I'd like to do it again and maybe focus more on that aspect of it, of getting the dealer work, because I think that's where more of the demand was.
Uh-huh.
But we'll kind of see what happens.
Right. Well, I mean, I hope you're able to make it back down here. I feel like even though you and I don't speak a whole lot, I mean, we're friends, I would guess, and we do, you know, talk a lot on Facebook and whatnot, but I feel like you and I are kind of always going to be connected, since we took our IDA testing at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you helped me out with some, give me some what to look out for since you took your SV test before I did. So I always feel like you and I are going to have that, like that, you know, IDA brotherly test bond kind of thing. So
absolutely.
It's always cool when I get to see you, when you come down. So I'm going to skip a couple of questions, because you talked about it a little bit. So you mentioned your health scare that you had. How has that changed your outlook on taking care of yourself, and any advice you can give to the guys and gals that might have the same habits? Because you were pounding a ton of energy drinks from what I read in your post. And I know, you know, that happens pretty much across the board in this industry. There's a lot of guys and girls who will just kill energy drinks. A lot of times it's, you know, for the same purposes that you did it. Like, you know, you're just cranking away. You don't really have time to stop and eat. You got to get a car done, pound an energy drink, you know, eat something sugary, get your, you know, wake you back up and keep you going. And I'll tell you, man, I stopped drinking energy drinks years ago. I was never really a big fan of them. They don't keep me awake. I could drink one and then go to sleep. But I was talking to a Monster rep one time, and he was telling me that they had a can that busted open in a case, but it was at the very bottom of the pallet. Well, not even on a pallet, it was sitting on the ground. And he said it took him probably, I don't know, a week or so to, you know, take all the cases down to get to that one can that had opened. And he told me that it had etched a hole the size of the can and probably, I don't know, an eighth of an inch or so into the concrete from that wow. stuff sitting there. So, you know, he told me, like, think about what that does to your stomach lining and things like that. So I stopped drinking them right then and there, because I would drink a few, you know, here and there kind of deal. But, yeah, I mean, what do you, like I said, I mean, how have you changed your outlook on it? And, you know, what can you tell everybody else going forward that maybe is pounding energy drinks left and right all day long?
So my biggest thing is that the energy drinks are not worth your health, basically. So right. you're pounding energy drinks to get more cars out. You think about the long-term effects that's going to have on your health. And is it really worth that few hundred dollars that you're going to make? You know what I mean? It's just,
right.
I, in fact, it was funny because two days before I went into the hospital, I had made a Facebook post with a picture of a 5-hour energy in a truck I was going to coat. And it was 8 o'clock at night. And I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was something along the lines of, who needs sleep? Just pound this and go.
Right.
And then it was 2 days later, I ended up in the hospital. So it was really eye-opening to me. And like you said, with it being real corrosive, when I was actually in the hospital, they saw a thickening on my esophagus. So they went in there with a camera, and it turned out that all the energy drinks has actually started to erode my esophagus from the acids. So wow. That's another thing they're treating. So I never thought about any of those things. And I would drink, you know, 6 energy drinks a day, like nothing. I'd start my day off with an Adderall, a Monster, and a 5-hour energy, literally just all at once. I would drink the 5-hour energy on the way to the shop, and I'd get to the shop, open the Monster, and take my Adderall with it. And that was just something that I did that was normal. It didn't get me hyped right. up. It had just gotten to where that was my routine. And I was spending, you know, $300-$400 a month on energy drinks. So it was crazy. Wow. And, you know, when you go into the hospital, and what happened was the doctor came in and he goes, your kidneys are not functioning at all. You're being admitted. And of course, he walked out scaring the living shit out of me. And I'm Googling it.
Right, right.
And I'm just sitting in that hospital bed thinking I'm going to die. And I broke down in tears. And I just looked at my wife and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I didn't ever think this would actually happen to me. You right. read about it and you hear about these things and you don't ever think it can be you. And it finally caught up with me. And so one of the things I'm trying to do now is take more time off of work. I would work, you know, 80 hours a week and not think twice. So now I'm trying to at least take one day off a week, most of the time, not have the energy drinks, which has really been a struggle. I've caved a few times.
Right.
But my biggest piece of advice is just, it's not worth it. It's fine if you want to have them every now and then for that extra boost, but don't rely on them. Don't buy them and drink them like crazy like I did. I mean, it was literally every day for, I don't know, 12 years or something like that, that I would just pound these things. And it took a toll on me. It really did.
And oh, yeah.
I'm slowly starting to feel better. I'm starting to not feel like I want to sleep all the time. When I was on the energy drinks, I wasn't sleeping. And
you know, well, yeah, because it's like a sugar rush and crash. And you're having tired. Essentially – pound another one to get that sugar rush, and you're crashing, and then you have to pound another one
Yeah,
kind of
and you
deal.
get tired and you can fall asleep. It's just your quality of sleep just completely sucks. You're tossing and turning,
Right.
and then you're grumpy with everybody, and then you feel like you have to have it. And people don't realize there's actually a psychological addiction to it. You drink so many and you feel like you have to have it. And
Oh, yeah.
it's insane. I don't know how people quit doing drugs, honestly, because it was hard to just quit the caffeine. So props to
Right.
everybody that's, conquered drug addiction, because this has been a ride for me for sure. But yeah, just it's not worth it. You don't need that extra few $100. If you need to do it every now and then, I understand, but you got to think about your family for real, because I have a ridiculously strong work ethic. I won't be outworked by anybody, and so I'll just grind and grind and grind no matter what's there.
Right.
There's times I'd work 36 hours straight, and
Holy
you just
cow.
can't do that to yourself. It's not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I commend you for doing that, because I've already mentioned a few times on this podcast that, man, I'm do enough to make a decent living, and then I'm out of there, man. Like I learned a long time ago, spending 60, 70 hours a week at the car wash, that's no fun when you got a wife and kid at home that you don't ever get to hang out with or see or do things with. So, now I try to make that happen. So I commend you for doing the 36 hour push, because
Yeah,
there's sometimes 10 hours I'm like, done, I'm going home, I don't care like what. And it's different, I mean, for me than you. I mean, you've got way, you're a little more high volume than I am with the dealership stuff, so sometimes that is harder to do. So what's been your replacement, man? What's replaced your energy drinks?
so I'm trying to drink more. Obviously, I'm trying to drink more water, which I was already really good at drinking water, but the problem is when you're having the energy drinks, especially like the 5-hour energies, it
Yeah.
throws all of your vitamins and everything off balance. So I became real potassium deficient. So even though I was drinking a lot of water, it wasn't doing me any good, basically. So I'm trying to,
Gotcha.
I'm trying to maintain that water. I switched to I'll try to have like pop, even though I don't really enjoy drinking pop that much anymore. But it gives me that flavor, so I have something else besides water. And then
Right.
from there, I'll cut back to just water, and it'll take some time, I'm sure. But that's kind of
That's
where
good.
I'm going with it, hoping for the best.
Yeah, no. I mean, we all hope you have a good speedy recovery and everything. It's so funny, man. The whole like soda pop thing. You're from New York and you're saying pop, and I'm just
Right.
like, soda, because I'm kind of the same way, man. Like, I can't drink coffee, but I do feel like I need that little bit of kick in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'll usually stop somewhere and grab a Coke. But then that's kind of it. And then I'm drinking waters throughout the day. I've got a little mini fridge at the shop that's, always loaded with water. And then for the flavor aspect, like you were talking about, because that's a lot of reasons why I'll try to do. I used to always drink a soda, because I was like, man, water just doesn't have any flavor to it. So what I've started doing, not recently, I mean, I've been doing it for, I guess, kind of a while, but got more solid about it recently, is I go buy like those little mixture, little drink mixes,
Yeah, like
that you
those
pour, the little
Mio's.
powders. Yeah, I mean, like I'll get, some wild strawberry, grape, something like that, whatever's on sale or whatever they got a good deal for at the grocery store or Target or something like that. And I just leave those at the shop, because then at least I've always got something with flavor. And I get a couple of different ones so I can kind of switch it up, so I'm not, so I don't just get sick of drinking the
Right.
same flavor all the time. So that's awesome that you're doing that, man. All right, so backtrack here a little bit. All right, so now we're going to come to maybe what everybody wants to hear about. You have become quite the Photoshop prankster, my friend, on Facebook. What was it that started? Because I don't even remember how it started. I just remember all of a sudden, here's Walt, like, every 10 minutes, it seemed like, on Facebook with some Photoshop. What got you, or what tripped tripped in your mind to be like, hey, I'm just going to start photoshopping these guys into stuff?
So, to be honest, I can't remember exactly what got me into it the first time, but I remember like I would read that somebody was upset about something, like they'd be complaining about the president or their governor, and I was like, oh, it'd be funny if I could just, get a picture of them with that shirt on or something. And so I would ask people, hey, can anybody put the head on there? And then I finally figured out how to do it one day, and it just kind of took off, and it was like, that's my new hobby, is just swapping people's heads or bodies. Or and I think what makes it so funny is that I'm not even good at blending it most of the time, so that makes it that much funnier.
It's a blatant Photoshop, like it's like so bad it's good
Exactly. And
almost.
it's fun. It gives me something to do. It takes my mind off things. It's kind of how I unwind at the end of the day sometimes. And it's just entertaining. I'll get people that message me. They're like, hey, can you do this or can you do that? And I love doing it. I have a riot.
Nice. Yeah, I remember when you did the one with Bruno as the mermaid holding
Yeah.
the banner. That one was
I don't
awesome.
think he liked that one very much. He didn't find it as
So
funny as the rest of us.
he did and he didn't. Because obviously, as an ad man, I had to ask him, if I was if I could post it as, because I remember you wanted me to post it as the banner picture.
Right.
And his deal is whoever wins Paint Correction of the Month, their picture is on the banner for a whole month.
Right.
So that's where he was like, no, you can't. But he was like, you can put it as an announcement, and I'll leave it up for 24 hours.
Right.
I almost think he kind of forgot about it because I remember 24 hours went by and I went back and looked and it was still there on
Right.
the
Yeah, everybody's been a
announcement
pretty good sport about it. I don't think anybody's actually gotten mad at me yet. So I've been lucky there because I
No.
push the limit sometimes, but usually everybody's a good sport about it. And I try to Photoshop myself here and there, but it's just not as fun doing it to myself.
Exactly. You're not, it's because everybody's, not, it's not as funny, I
Yeah. And
guess,
I do it
when
to
you're
the
doing it.
guys at work too. I'll send people messages at work with, with our supervisors photoshopped or whatever, and everybody loves it.
Nice. Who's been your favorite to Photoshop? And I think I know the answer, but I just want to hear you say it to see if I'm right or
I
not.
would say, I don't know, I've been having a lot of fun with Tony Carmella lately.
That's what I was gonna
I've been having a
say.
blast with him, and the reason it's so funny is because we're both really short. I'm only he's 5'6" and I'm 5'7". So I was always getting called the short guy all the time, whether it be online or wherever, people would make fun of me for being short. So when I found out he was shorter than me, I just had a field day. So that's when I just started, Photoshopping the crap out of him and shrinking him, and he's been super good about it. In fact, we were at a training together last weekend, and I told him, I said, hey, go stand over there by yourself. I need a picture of you. And he was real hesitant. And everybody's like, why would you do that for him? And sure enough, I was using that picture to shrink him down for everything. But,
Yeah, I think I saw that one. You like shrunk him down and put him in the middle of like the
yeah.
whole group picture or
Yep.
something like
So he's been a really good sport
that.
about it. I gotta give him that because he's been getting it hard for, I don't know, at least 2 months now.
Yeah. I'll tell you what was funny with Barry jumping in on it and putting that booster seat
Oh yeah.
on his table when he posted that picture. I died.
I did some really good
I
ones
died.
of Barry before, but he got even with me. He actually created an entire Facebook page of me, and just for people
Oh,
to roast me.
really?
He took it down real quick, but it was funny. It was like, okay, I met my match here. I'm gonna
I'll
settle
have
down
to
again.
message Barry and tell him he needs to start that back
Oh,
up.
I'm
I need
sure
to
he
be on
still has it. I'm
that
sure he does.
page. Where am I at? So who have you not photographed that you kind of want to, but maybe you're not sure how they'll take it, so you haven't done it?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, because it's more, it depends on what they're saying at the time. If I see someone comment something funny, generally I'll just, I'll be like, oh, this is a good idea. It's kind of spur of the moment thing if I'm scrolling through, right. Like I Google like random stuff. Like I'll Google like Trailer Park Hillbilly or something and just find the goofiest stuff I can find. And that's when I start getting the ideas. And then I'll be like, oh, this person said this and it made me think of this. So
right.
I do got to try to start getting some new people though. So the people in the clapping Facebook page are probably going to get it first.
Oh man, I might have to jump out of that group then. You've gotten me a few times though. Yep. So, you know, you've got a couple of good ones for me. I don't want to give you any ideas, so we're just going to leave it at that. You've gotten me pretty good. What software are you using to do that? I was curious.
So I use a combination of things. For the general, just like when I'm swapping just the face, I'll use, it's Photoshop. Let me look here. Photoshop Mix. It's actually free on iPhone and iPad. Okay. So it's probably free on Android too. And it basically just lets you like layer photos on top of each other. But some of the other ones some of them, believe it or not, I actually spend a little bit of time on. And I'll use a combination of the different Photoshop programs. I have the subscription to them. When we went into the coronavirus quarantine, I got laid off for about 5 weeks. And that's when I got my new iPad, and I kind of went nuts buying programs. So I have several. Right. I have about, you know, 7 or 8 different programs I'll use. And sometimes I'll edit it in one program and transfer it to another because I can do different things in it, which is part of the reason they don't look perfect because I'm swapping programs. So.
Right,
exactly. But Photoshop Mix is my primary one when I'm just doing like head swaps.
Okay. So I guess it's a good thing that you're back to work now, because it does seem like there was that period of time where you were just had nothing better to do.
Exactly. That was my entertainment and that was it. There was no nothing. I just was Photoshopping everybody. I get my dad all the time too. It's great.
Nice. So it's not just the detail squad.
Oh no, it's everybody.
Nobody's safe from Walt.
Nope.
And his detail. And his, I mean, in his Photoshop mate.
Yeah.
What are your goals or plans, let's say like the next 5 years? What do you have that you want to do in the next 5 years? With the business or the dealership or whatever?
So my plans kind of got set back a little bit, but we originally had planned, we made a 5-year plan about, I want to say it was about a year and a half ago. And it was to have at least 1 to 2 more locations opened up within 5 years. And I would take on more of the role of trainer and ceramic coatings. And basically I would take over more of the business aspect than I do now.
Right.
And essentially just train other detailers to be where I'm at. And I'm working with one kid right now, and he's really, really come a long way detailing wise. I mean, he's impressed me. He's been with us for about a year and a half now. He's doing really well. So the plan is to, you know, just keep growing. We're looking at possibly expanding the building next year if we can maintain the volume that we have this year, because it's been crazy.
Right.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I want to create a training program that's more geared toward dealership detailing. Not even so much the dealership employees, but people that are looking for that extra income of doing dealership cars, because there's things you can do that either people are scared of, or they think it's the wrong way, or they're on the complete opposite end of the spectrum and they're trying to do way too much than what the dealer wants. So I want to have that fine line there. And my plan is to have it all digital, and you'll be able to go in and, let's say you have gum on the seat, you'll be able to go in and click a tab that says how to remove gum or this or that, and there'll be different sections, and dealerships will be able to buy this program so that when they're training people, they don't have to spend as much money basically hands-on. They'll be able to just put these guys in and they'll be able to watch a series of videos on top of their however they do their training, and then it'll give them a resource as well. I haven't fully started it. I did start a little bit, you know, tinkering with some things, but I haven't actually launched it yet. But within 5 years, that's my plan, to have that up and going and try to start marketing that.
Now, with the talk of expanding into multiple locations, is that like you, or is that you and the dealership
So
expanding?
it would be me and the dealership right now. I would like to, eventually try to buy into it just because I've spent so much time growing the business
Right.
that I don't want to just walk away. Last year I was considering walking away, and I'm kind of glad I stayed right now. It's
Right.
when you think of dealership detailing and you think of detailing on your own, there's a lot of things to consider. And the nice thing about working for somebody is you have a guaranteed job, basically. If things go
Yeah.
south, you can still pay your bills because you can just leave and go somewhere else. You know what I mean? You're not as invested as you would be in your own company. You're
Right.
not going to lose everything. Paid time off, there's benefits, there's things like that. And because I had my own detail shop for 3 years and then I did mobile for another year, I've seen every aspect of it. And I kind of need that other person to be like, hey, no, slow down. This is how we're going to do things. And that's
Right.
what I have now. I have a lot of freedom to do the things I want to do and explore the routes I want to go, like with ceramic coatings and things like that. And they trust me. But sometimes they'll be like, hey, no, slow down. Let's try this. And I need that because I have ADHD and I get really excited and passionate about things and I jump right into them and I can't do that.
Right.
So it's great because when you work at a dealership and you get into that management position, not only are you making money, but you're getting that experience, you're getting that knowledge, so that if you do ever want to go out on your own, you know how to do it the right way. Whereas
Exactly.
I started my business before I did any dealership management, and I probably should have did it the other way. If I could go back, I would. But we'll see what the future holds. Opening my own shop again is not out of the question, but we'll see what the future holds.
No.
Right now I'm content where I'm at, and
Yeah.
things are going good, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, if there's growth opportunity with that dealership and they're, obviously not, I guess one of the things that I always kind of hear negatively about dealerships is, you kind of get into it as a detailer, or as a detailer, from what I've heard from friends who are detailers have done this, is that they get in, you sign a contract, oh, for 3 years, 2 years or whatever. But then what typically happens is, then that contract's up and now they want to finagle prices down a little bit, but they still want you to do higher. So if you've got a good relationship with a dealership that's rolling along with you and listening to everything you say, man, that's awesome, man. I'm really happy for you with that, and hope that you're able to do those things.
Yeah, and there's definitely some bad dealerships out there as far as trying to grow with them. I mean, I've been promised the world from other places, and nothing ever came
Right.
of it. And now I have other dealership general managers will call me and be like, hey, there's this guy, he just applied to be a detailer. Do you know him? Things like that. Or I'll send them people. I'll be like, hey, do you need a detailer? Here's this guy. So I've built a lot of relationships in the dealership world. And I've grown a network with a lot of sales managers and service managers,
Right.
and that's one of the things that a lot of people overlook when they are in that atmosphere, is they don't look at the possibilities. They're just looking at one little thing and not the bigger picture. So
I gotcha. All right, so we're pretty much close to time. So I'm going to hit you with the last and final question. You probably know what it is if you listen to the podcast before. If you don't, it's how can people get in touch with you? If somebody's listening to this and maybe wants some more information about de dealership detailing, maybe somebody wants to get into a dealership because they've got one close by or a high-end dealership they want to try to go to. How do people get in touch with you? Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, TikTok, OnlyFans.
So Facebook is probably the easiest way. You can find me by my name, Walt Sanders, or you can find my actual page, That Detail Guy Walt. That's the same name across all my platforms as far as Instagram, TikTok. Make sure you follow me on TikTok before they ban it. The email
I thought it wasn't going to be banned anymore.
I guess they posted something today. It's going to be like effective Sunday. You can't download it anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know what the deal is. But you remember that Flappy Duck game that they banned that, or they took it offline and everybody was selling cell phones with it for crazy money? So if you see my cell phone on eBay, that's why.
Oh, wow.
But but yeah, so just about every platform. I'm on LinkedIn. I don't use that too much, but I do have it. So if anybody ever wants to reach out to me about dealership detailing, I'm always happy to talk. Sometimes you get to message me a few times to get me to answer, because I'll look at it when I'm busy and I'll think I replied and I forget. So don't be afraid to message me more than once.
Yeah, I've had to actually post on your Facebook wall a few times to get you to go look.
Yeah, and sometimes I shut my notifications off, because our shop phone is actually linked to my cell phone. So if they don't answer in a certain amount of time, it goes to it. And then we have we have a messaging app at work. And because I'm a manager, I get all of the messages from every department will come through. So sometimes I just shut all my notifications off.
Gotcha. So real quick, the TikTok thing, are you using that for business or using that for fun like Mr. Gray Scott does?
Pretty much just for fun. I had thought about making it more of a how-to thing, but I'm still trying to focus more on YouTube for that, and I haven't even done that. So that's the other thing. Gotcha. I'm also on YouTube. I forget what the name is. I think it's that Detail Guy Walt. I don't remember, to be honest with you, because I don't use it enough.
If you haven't been on there enough, you forget.
Yeah,
but either way,
I haven't looked at the
name. Right. Everybody can message you through Facebook.
Yeah,
or
Facebook's the easiest.
Messenger or whatever, probably the easiest. Yeah. Well, awesome, Walt, man. I really appreciate you, you know, being a guest. It's getting harder and harder for me to kind of find, not really, I guess everybody kind of is expressed interest in being on this, but you know, it's trying to find people that I don't really know a lot about. You know, again, that's what this whole thing is about, is to kind of meet people, and I've still got a bunch of people to go through. But I'm glad you took time out to sit and chat with us. Hopefully everybody who listened learns a little bit something, at least maybe health-wise.
Yeah, or Photoshop, either way.
Or Photoshop, or maybe that they want to get into that dealership game.
Absolutely.
And they get a little inspiration from you and reach out to you. So I really appreciate you being on the podcast. And thanks, man. We'll talk soon, I guess.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
All right, brother, man. You have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye. Okay, that was Walt. Big sexy Sanders. Rounding out, like I said, this is going to be the last interview, get to know each other kind of thing for season one. Next week, I've got something different planned. You guys are definitely going to want to stay tuned for. We've got that one person we've talked about all season long, pretty much. It's actually going to be on the episode. But he's not going to be the only person. We've got a couple of other really big, big, huge names that are going to sit in with us, and we're going to kind of do a little round table. Deal. So stay tuned for that one. Again, as always, thank you for listening to us wherever you're listening to us at: Anchor, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Breaker, any of the other apps that you can find us on. Please subscribe to us, like us, shoot us a review, all so we can just try to get more recognition. More people can find us, be easier for people to find us. Thanks, guys and gals, again, for listening. You guys have a wonderful whatever it is for you when you're listening to this. Thank you. Bye.